Welcome to the Esri and the Science of Our podcast. Everything is somewhere, including the hidden injustices in many of our nation's cities and communities. As the first director of racial equity for Los Angeles County, D'Artagnan Scorza is a true innovator, using the technology of location analytics, data analysis, and mapping to more deeply understand and address social injustice in urban LA.
If we didn't have folk who were focused on analyzing the data, understanding the connection to that data and its history, the conditions that people face, then I don't think we would be able to do our jobs effectively to help stand up and maintain the social safety net.
Esri Sofia Garcia explores what it takes to tackle systemic inequality in one of the most populous and diverse counties in the U.S., whose 10 million plus population exceeds that of 40 U.S. states.
Hello, D'Artagnan. Welcome to the Esri and the Science of Wear podcast.
Thank you so much for having me here today.
You've been instrumental in applying a geospatial approach to increasing social equity in LA County. So when did you realize that geography and data should be used to elevate community stories and address inequities?
One of the things that occurred to me as I began to do the work I'm doing, not only in LA County, but throughout Los Angeles and the state of California, was the importance of space and place. And so growing up in South Los Angeles, I always knew that my neighborhood was different, right, from our counterparts in Santa Monica or Beverly Hills. There was a point where we had windows in our schools that were blacked out, or there were like bars around the campus. And so understanding the difference in space and place was an early lived experience I had. So when I came to this work here in LA County, it made sense to really try and understand that you can't go to every neighborhood. You can't drive down every street and every block and understand what the conditions are. But there is data that we can use to help us see the most impacted communities. And folk, I think, were really excited about being able to see where they lived across the LA County's geography and region.
So how did you convince county officials that this was a wise use of county funding?
I wouldn't say there was a lot of internal reluctance, but there was an argument and a case that had to be made for the value of this work. Early on, when I came to the county, I had started asking questions about how we were using data, whether or not there were tools to assess conditions of deep poverty, or we also call concentrated disadvantage. So we wanted to know where families, or individuals rather, who came from families were more likely to live. It was in that context that I think many of our both elected but also our county officials came to see the value in using data visualization tools, because it enabled us to micro-target and to figure out where people who faced many of those conditions that I just named lived, who in our communities were most impacted by the pandemic, older adults or essential workers, or people with asthma, for example, right? So these folk who had comorbidity and also other related health conditions were folk that we wanted to make sure we reached. So we were able to identify data to help align our resources to those neighborhoods where they were more likely to be.
I would love for you to elaborate or tell a story or an example that the county is doing that specifically touches on how the county is now micro-targeting neighborhoods that are most in need, and how maps have been used to help persuade other county officials and the community that funding should be in a specific targeted area.
Yeah, one of the things that we've had to be very mindful of is that we can't target resources on the basis of a protected characteristic. So here in the state of California, we have Proposition 209, which eliminated affirmative action. And one of the many restrictions that 209 put on is that you cannot target resources on the basis of race or gender or, again, another protected characteristic. With that in mind, we wanted to work with our departments to make sure that they designed programs not only that adhere to the law, but ensured that we could still have an impact in our communities. And what that meant was that we had to think about how we could conduct outreach to folk in communities, right? We would have to create a universal program, but have targeted outreach strategies to folk in our communities that helped us bring people in who otherwise might not have traditionally accessed county services or resources or programs or contracting or even grant opportunities.
Could you talk about how the county was addressing inequity challenges before the integration of the equity department?
I think many folk recognize that after the death of George Floyd, there was a movement across the country to address the underlying or root causes that led to his death and the death of so many other African Americans, not only dealing with, I think, challenges in our modern day policing system, but also dealing with conditions that face our Native American and American Indian community members. LA County has one of the largest Native American Indian populations, urban populations in the country. And one of the things that I think my shop, the Anti-Racism, Diversity, and Inclusion Initiative, otherwise known as ARDI, one of the things that we did is we tried to elevate not only those needs, but to help folk understand who the populations were that were impacted by historical policies. For example, here in LA County, we know that many of our Native American Indian populations were asked to leave their reservations in Nevada and Colorado and Utah, and they were promised land and jobs and homes to come to LA County, and that stuff never materialized. And so when you recognize that folk are not aware of that, and we help to make them aware of those promises or the conditions that many of our Native American Indian communities face, it enables us to recognize where disparities and inequities exist and to better utilize these types of tools to, again, address the needs of our communities at a population level. If we didn't have folk who were focused on understanding data in this way, analyzing the data, understanding the connection to that data and its history, recognizing not only that history, but also the policies that were passed to shape the conditions that people face, then I don't think we would be able to do our jobs effectively to help stand up and maintain the social safety net, right? Folk would fall further and further into poverty or further and further into conditions where their health is lacking or be more likely to be homeless. And that would be a moral failure in our society. So I'm super excited about how our Equity Explorer, how our efforts here, they're leading to improvement in life outcomes.
So tell us about the Equity Explorer.
Yes, absolutely. So the Equity Explorer is our data visualization tool and mapping tool that helps us to add data layers to the geography here in LA County, understanding sort of what those layers can tell us about the conditions people are facing. So we have layers around tenant vulnerability. We know where people who are more likely to be evicted live, for example, or more likely to be housing insecure live. We were able to overlay our homelessness point in time count data, so we know where folk experiencing homelessness are more likely to be in LA County, so we can visualize that. We have layers for our children who are more likely to be investigated by the child welfare system here in LA County. We have layers of concentrated disadvantage. We even have a redlining map layer. And that redlining map layer enables us to look at the sort of historical conditions that shaped segregation and concentrated poverty here in LA County by geography, and then also help us understand how our programs can be better tailored to the needs of those populations. The Equity Explorer is a tool for our departments to use when they're designing programs, when they're making decisions about how to conduct outreach in their neighborhoods, when they're trying to figure out who to partner with in communities, with local community-based organizations or small businesses, mom and pop shops, et cetera. So it really is a mapping tool, a data visualization tool for our community and for our residents throughout the region.
How do you think your use of geographic information systems has been more innovative than other counties?
One of the things I think that makes us unique here in LA County is that we're able to do things at scale, given our size, given the size of our budget, given the population we serve, the number of our departments. We have nearly 40 departments. It allows us to work across different sort of silos and jurisdictions to help improve conditions for folk and communities. So what I think helps to make some of the work we're doing a bit innovative, especially in relationship to other communities, is that we've been able to incorporate these types of analyses into our program design process. We've been able to align and use data to help connect to our communities to get their feedback, to understand exactly what their needs are, and to better create programs to support those needs. We're really trying to understand where the need is. So I'll give you a quick example. In our pandemic efforts, our board directed the creation of an equity funding formula. That funding formula called for 40% of our dollars to be targeted to the neighborhoods in the top quintile, right? The top 20% of pandemic need, 35% to be targeted in the next quintile. So let's say the top quintile is called the highest tier. The next quintile is called the high need tier. The third quintile is a moderate tier. Then we have the low and lowest tiers. In those tiers, again, we have a 40%, 35%, 23%, and 2% funding formula that we've asked our departments to adhere to so that the majority of those resources are going to those who are more likely to be food insecure, more likely to be vulnerable. We can partner with our local community-based organizations to go target those neighborhoods to help make sure that people stay in their homes, because we know the pandemic had such a negative effect upon people's life outcomes. We know what the pandemic did to so many of our families. Many of us lost family members. Many of us saw family members need to go get food assistance. We have to get really smart with how we both target our efforts, target our outreach, but also use our resources to, again, improve people's lives. This is not just about preventing negative life outcomes, but this is about enabling people to live their best lives. And so what I think we have is a vision and an approach to how to utilize our resources through outreach strategies, but also in ways that are going to help us examine the impact of that work.
D'Artagnan, thank you for your time.
Thank you so much for having me here today.
Thank you for listening to the Esri and the Science of Wear podcast. And thanks to D'Artagnan Scorza for explaining how technology is a critical tool to understand and take on inequality in communities and cities. If you like this episode, please share it with a colleague.